Hello. I'd first like to thank the Hungarian National Museum and OMIC for giving me the opportunity to present Object Photo, the Thomas Walter Collection at the Museum of Modern Art, as well as the Fulbright Foundation for bringing me to Hungary in the first place. The Thomas Walter Collection held at the Museum of Modern Art represents photographic modernism from the 1910s, 20s, 30s, and 40s through a group of 341 photographs. The Walter Project, which is funded by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, is a four-year research collaboration between the departments of photography and conservation at MoMA. We've also invited around 30 international scholars for 1 to 2 week long residencies to research parts of the collection in depth and to present a model for how material and historical research can be combined, and they've all contributed research reports that will be presented on the website as well. The project will conclude this December with the launch of the online platform, as well as the publication of a print catalog and an exhibition of the 341 photographs as well. Object Photo, the online platform of the Thomas Walter Collection, begins with the premise that each of the 341 photographs in the collection is a unique object. All too often online, photographs are presented as simply images. They're cropped, they have 90-degree angles, they have straight edges. But in reality, photographs are actually objects that have mounts, that have surfaces, that have material qualities that oftentimes are not represented online. In the Walter Project, we attempt to move away from representing the isolated image towards thinking about it as an object that has mounts, that has color toning, that has sheen, a surface sheen. And we can think about, for instance, how instead of viewing an image like this as isolated without any sense of scale, when we can view it instead with its mount, we can see we can have a different understanding of its geometry and how the photographer intended to present it. Or by studying the full object, we can also piece together stories about its material past or its history, how it's moved from the artist to collectors to museums and finally to MoMA's collection. For instance, in this photograph by Oscar Nerlinger, Motorcycle in the Race, we've been able to determine, I actually remember it was a very exciting day in the study center with scholar Olivier Lugon, that using the sticker on the bottom left of the recto of the mount, which is a number, matching that to its number in the film and photo catalog, and then further confirming it with the Japanese export stamps on the back of the print, this object that's now in MoMA's collection was the exact Oscar Nerlinger print that was in the groundbreaking film and photo exhibition of 1929. This is significant because it allows us to piece together aspects of Nerlinger's practice that tell us how a photographer would have chosen to make a print specifically for an exhibition. Did he use thick or thin paper? Did he use a paper with a shiny surface or a matte surface? Is there extensive retouching? By being able to draw together these attributes about a print and understanding how the photographer intended to present it at an exhibition or for reproduction, we can work backwards to determine whether prints that we know less about have been made for exhibition or reproduction or other purposes. The Walter Project attempts to compile as many of these material attributes as possible, as well as a set of historical attributes, including exhibitions, publications that the image has been in, the place that the negative was made, its provenance, and the marks and inscriptions on the back to create a full set of information about each of the 341 objects. All of those bits of information are turned into data points that are stored in a database. When a user navigates to the Object Photo website, they're first presented with four visualization objects, the data visualizations that run from that database. They can explore the photographs according to the place that the negative was made. They can explore the photographs according to those material attributes, the techniques, as I mentioned. Alternatively, there are 150 artists whose works are represented in the collection, and a user can explore the artists themselves through the connections between them or through events in their life chronologies. Here's a static representation of the first visualization, which is photographs by place taken. Each of the 341 photographs is plotted on a map according to where the negative was made. Users can filter down that number of photographs by selecting things that interest them, whether they want to see aerial photographs, data photographs, photographs that are film stills, It can also narrow down the number of photographs according to the technique that was used, according to paper thickness, a number of filter options. The second visualization type, photographs by technique, allows a user to select one of many attributes, material attributes, they are interested in, whether the photograph is a contact print, whether it's a copy print, whether we've been able to determine that it's an enlargement or it's retouched. They can select as many of these attributes as they're interested in and plot them so that each one of the attributes becomes a timeline. And on the timeline, each one of the photographs in the Walter collection that matches that attribute is plotted according to when the negative was made. Users, by showing more of these attributes at once, users can begin to detect whether there were overlaps, similarities, and contrasts between the decisions that a photographer made when making a print. Was a photographer more likely to use a shiny surface paper when they were making a print for reproduction? Or were they perhaps using a thicker paper when they were making an enlargement with a matte surface for an exhibition? By very flexibly filtering and querying these attributes, users can learn more about the decisions that photographers made. Users can also roll over each one of the dots to see what other attributes that photograph matches. The third visualization, and I'll have to ask for your forgiveness because this one we're still in beta actually, and so this is still being designed and there's a little bit of work to go with this. But the third visualization is a very interesting one, and I'll have to pause here to explain a concept that I haven't yet touched on, which is because there are literally thousands of data points in this collection and in this website, we've curatorially highlighted select exhibitions, publications, artistic circles that these photographs or artists were involved in to point out to users some influential exhibitions or publications so that there's an entry point, there's an easier entry into this collection and the data that it represents. There are about 60 of these matrix nodes that we've selected to highlight, and each one of those is listed around the circle. A user, if they're interested in, say, Es Comptor Noia Photograph, which is a publication, or Photo Alga, also a book, would click on that matrix node to see the photographers in the collection that were in that book. The photographers would pop up in the center of the circle as dots with their names. The larger the dot, the greater number of connections that they have within the matrix. And if, for instance, someone had pulled up Ella Sitsky and was interested in seeing what other matrix nodes he was attached to, they would click on him, and as you see in this image here, they would see all of the rest of the matrix nodes that he is represented in the collection. Finally, in the fourth visualization, the artist chronologies, there are 150 artists in the collection, and for each one of them, we've taken apart existing artist biographies and broken them down into anywhere from 10 to 80 events per artist. We've plotted on a map and on a timeline to show how artists moved throughout the world during this period. And each one, you can filter according to event types. You can see their exhibitions, where they were exhibiting most commonly. You can see where they went to school, whether they were involved with war, whether they were involved with films, whether they were teaching, and where and when. And then because each of these is a data point in a database, other artists can be linked to the same events. So we end up actually coming across connections between artists that we didn't know existed. That by going through, say, Moholy Nagy's artist chronology and entering each one of the events in his life, selected events in his life, as a data point, we find that other artists were, in fact, in the same exhibitions or at the same school at the same time as him. And these come up out of this data visualization. You can find these in this. And so actually now I'd like to take you to, as I said, the beta version of the website. So forgive, it is rough. I mentioned that we've done extensive object research on each of the photographs. Those are represented as a suite of photograph detail pages. And here's one by Martin Mankacsi, a Hungarian photographer. There are, in fact, about...
the notion itself.
How will I navigate?
All day like this.
Okay. Try this. So this would be an object detail page for a photograph by Martin Munkácsy, and as I was about to mention, there are several Hungarian photographers in this collection, and it's been a pleasure to do extensive research on their work before I got here, and as I'm here as well. This photograph, the first tab, there's a 6-tab detail page for each object that organizes information according to how a user may approach a photograph. So first you might start with the front of the object, the recto, and zoom in to see in great detail the image and its surface, as well as titles, its original publication title and title in the original and in the language that it was published in, the date that the negative was made, as well as the date that we estimate the print was made, to emphasize the fact that a negative is very different than a print and that they both have different lifelines. Information, tombstone information about the medium, dimensions, place taken, and in some cases, an essay. Users can also see, for every single photograph in the collection, a high-resolution image of the verso of it, which has been cataloged in machine-readable text as marks and inscriptions, so that someone who was interested in, say, tracking the usage of stamps on the back of Germaine Krull's prints could search on the web for the text that would be in that stamp and could land on all of the objects in the Walter collection that have that stamp in them, because the marks and inscriptions have been cataloged. This, for many researchers, this helps them date prints, helps them understand a chronology of an artist's practice. In addition, cataloging the marks and inscriptions was actually a huge part of building out each photograph's provenance, which is something that this research project will make a major contribution to the photographic discipline by developing out a provenance for each of the photographs. Traditionally, this is only done for paintings or for sculptures because those are unique objects that can be tracked through history as they pass from an artist to a collector to a museum. But often this isn't done for photographs because they exist in multiples and in duplicates, and so it's much more difficult to track where the actual object has gone. Users can also see the surface, detailed images of the surface of a print. As well as in-depth research about the materials used, in the paper, including fibers and other elements present in the paper. On another tab, they can zoom out to understand the place of the photograph within history. They can see historical exhibitions or publications that this photograph was represented in. And as I mentioned, the scholar essays, about 30 international scholars have contributed essays. And here you see Péter Báky, the director of the Hungarian Museum of Photography, has also contributed an essay about the Hungarian photographs in the collection. And so those are linked to each object as well to build out a more traditional way of reading and understanding a photograph. If you had landed on this object, you might also be then interested in understanding Martin Munkácsy's practice. So you could navigate to his artist page. Well, good thing I've already pulled it up. And you can read what is right now a generic text, but will soon be an artist biography. As well as explore his chronology. And if you weren't interested in just seeing Martin Munkácsy's chronology alone, you could also see how he might overlap with a fellow Hungarian photographer's lifeline, Moholy-Nagy. And unfortunately, this screen is really small because of sharing it with the presentation, but you would be able to see more information at once on almost any other screen. You could play their lifetime. As I mentioned, this is a representation of Laszlo Moholy-Nagy and Martin Mankacsy's artist chronologies. So if you were interested in seeing what kind of events they overlapped in Budapest, you would click on Budapest, and you'd be able to explore the individual events in this sidebar. You could also limit the time range that you're looking at to see fewer events. When we were developing this website, we were thinking a lot about digital humanities and about similar projects in the United States that were taking what we've all seen and heard here in this conversation, in this conference, about metadata and about aggregating collection information. And these digital humanities projects are taking metadata and turning it into something else, transforming it into something that shows us results of research that we wouldn't be able to see in traditional print publications or in exhibitions. Things that you can see by plotting data onto a map, by viewing it in terms of these animations that change, by seeing it on timelines, by seeing trends and patterns that come out of putting thousands of data points into, by processing thousands of data points with digital tools. So one of the websites that was particularly influential for us that I'd like to mention is the Photogrammar Project by Yale University. As I apologized before, the screen is very small. So in fact, this is a representation of the United States. There you go, that's better. The Photogrammar Project begins with the 170,000 photographs from the Farm Security Administration, which was a US government-funded project during the Great Depression, the 1930s and 40s, to fund photographers to go out and shoot around the United States to capture an image of what the Great Depression looked like everywhere. For several years now, all of the metadata about those 170,000 photographs has been online on the Library of Congress's website, which is an excellent step. It's rich metadata that's built out with the dates that the photographs were taken, the places that they were taken, the photographers, the lot number, which is the assignment that the photographer was on. But you could take that data and you could sort through it one by one, and if you were really dedicated, you could plot it on a map. But you couldn't actually see trends in that data. You couldn't see where photographers were moving unless you focused in on one specific photographer and really dedicated time to plotting them. The Photogrammar team downloaded all of the metadata about that collection and plotted it on a map and color-coded it by photographer. So you can actually see where photographers were moving during this period. You can see here, for instance, the blue photographs, or the blue dots, represent the track of Jack Delano, who was actually traveling around a major roadway in the US, as were several other photographers. And by plotting them, by seeing this visually, you can begin to tell that actually photographers were skipping certain areas of the United States, that there were parts of the United States that aren't captured in this apparently whole image of the US during the Great Depression, and which raises questions of what places were missed. Were they certain demographics? Were they places that would actually present a completely different image of the Great Depression in the US? And so this sort of tool gives us an opportunity to flexibly query and see that data and to answer those questions. I actually may need help getting to... Another project that was very inspiring for us is hosted by Stanford University. It's called Mapping the Republic of Letters. In this project, they took the metadata about a huge set of letters exchanged by Enlightenment writers and plotted them according to when they were written, where they were being sent to, and who the recipients were. And in this, you can see, this is a map of 10% of Voltaire's correspondence. And of course, this in itself gives you a very large overview picture of his correspondence, but what was particularly inspiring for us about this was that this project gives you the opportunity to see data represented in several different types of visualizations, as we've attempted to do in our project as well. So, keeping in mind the map at the top, which would actually be changing, you could explore Voltaire's correspondence according to who it went to, French people, and see the other two visualizations change according to the selected input. So you can see how his correspondence, the content of it, changes over time and place. The map and the timelines both change to reflect the input that you've selected at the bottom. So his correspondents who were German or Prussian, his correspondents who were male, which is drastically more than correspondents who were female. The correspondents who were state officials and what their national makeup was. And each one of the two visualizations, as I said above, changes to reflect the input that you've selected at the bottom. So, in conclusion, I think what's been particularly interesting to me as an art historian and curator about working on this digital humanities platform, digital research platform, is that it actually offers many new opportunities for thinking about and presenting research on art history, on contemporary art, on photographs, on sculptures, on paintings. And in fact, it doesn't need to replace traditional ways of presenting or distributing information. It can work in tandem with publications and with exhibitions, and actually, they all complement each other. So for instance, in December, on December 9th, the Walter Project will print a publication, a catalog with traditional long essays going into depth about objects in the collection, about groups of photographs. There will also be the opening of an exhibition of all of the work so that audiences, viewers, can actually see the objects that are at the heart of all of this research. And finally, the website will take apart the information that's presented in other ways, that's in other ways presented as a linear narrative that shows a model for how you think about photographs, to break that information apart into data points that people can explore and create new results from on their own. And I think it actually presents a lot of opportunities for expanding the ways that we not only engage with audiences, but also open up our research to other interpretations and to other voices. Thank you.